We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, how are we doing today? IB Nation Sports Talk is up and running. Hope you're having a great day. I'm Sean Stiers, along with Jesse Stiers. And you know, I know that a lot of our people are used to coming in, and you get the Brian Driscoll / Ryan show, you know, early in the afternoon. And then you come on here, and, you know, it's me with either Jesse or Vince, and the guys have been off the last couple of days with everything that Brian and his wife are going through with their dog. Hopefully things are going better here pretty soon. But we will try to pick you up and get you going here today. So, I don't know if Salty is being sarcastic with his nice Sean exclamation points, or just maybe he's just having a little fun because it's only 6:02 right now and we actually started on time tonight. How are you, Jess?
I'm doing good. It's been a pretty good week. I was supposed to go to Florida starting tomorrow, but that got canceled because of all the hurricane weather. So that's unfortunate. Knocked out some vacation days in the Marco Islands. So instead of having tomorrow off, I'm doing the noble thing and working, because why not?
That's right. That is absolutely right. You know, we had a mailbag show yesterday, so we're going to do something a little differently today. And I started thinking about this earlier in the week, you know, because it's Thursday. If there was a game Saturday, we'd be previewing the game and, you know, kind of doing some breakdown and X's and O's and all that kind of stuff. And Anthony notices that Jesse showed up on time, unlike Vince yesterday. So well done. But yeah, so, you know, so if we had a game Saturday, we'd be previewing it and talking about it and all that stuff. But we don't have a game because it's bye week. And I saw somebody earlier say, well, at least we don't have to worry about a loss. It's like, man, are you that inflicted right now? You're just automatically
even on a 2-game win streak.
I know. And, you know, coming off their best game to boot. But so we have no game to preview. And, you know, we usually do rapid fire at the end of each show. But I thought, well, you know what? I've got kind of a bank of a lot of different topics here. Why don't we just do an all rapid fire show? We did the mailbag show yesterday, so we're just going to do all rapid fire today. We got a lot of different topics that we're going to get to. We've got some Marcus Freeman. We're going to, there's something to do with Brian Kelly that's going to come up there. We've got some comments from Mac Brown about Notre Dame. We've got a lot of different stuff that we're going to get to in today's show. And for all of our YouTube viewers, you can, you can still throw a question or two at us if you'd like, and maybe we can slip them in along the way. So feel free to do that. If, you know, it's like I said, we had mailbag last night, but it's all rapid fire tonight. And so we're just going to go for a while. And we want to make sure that you get your IB fix. So throw the questions in if you want. And, you know, like I said, we'll try to get them in there for you. And, you know, I always ask you to like, subscribe, rate, review, all that stuff. I know most people are tired of hearing about it right now. But if you would, you know, hit that like button if you're in here right now. But our YouTube listeners always get to chime in, you know, because we've got the live chat and, you know, just like yesterday with the mailbag and all that stuff. So here's what I'm going to do for our audio podcast listeners, you know, whether it's like Blue Wire, Apple, Spotify, wherever. If you give us a 5-star review on one of the audio platforms and leave a comment for us, comment, question, whatever you want. We'll read them next week. So we don't, we haven't really it's harder to be interactive with the audio podcast because obviously it's after the fact. We take the, the audio from the live video and we post it afterwards, but leave us a nice review, give us a 5-star, leave us a comment, question, whatever it happens to be. And we'll get into some of those next week. What do you think about that, Jess?
I think that sounds like a great idea to all the listeners out there. I mean, you get to give your favorite podcast a 5-star rating, get to leave a review, and then you get one of your answers question next week. And it's going to be a big week against BYU. So I'm sure that there's going to be lots of questions, lots of opinions, and a lot of just curious people.
Yep. I asked Vince if he wanted to come in because I mentioned yesterday we might just do a full rapid fire show, and he's got stuff going on, so we won't be able to do that. But
Vince always has stuff going on.
That is very true. That is very true. And it's different.
He might be one of the people that has the most stuff going on.
That's right. There's no doubt about that. So go ahead and do that. And, like I said, we got a lot of different topics today. You want to get to the first one right now?
Yeah, I think we should hit the ground running. Why not?
All right. Here we go. No, Anthony's right. He does have 5 kids, and that does keep him hopping. So
that's on top of – that's like the cherry on top.
Yeah, that's right. That's on top of like 2.5 full-time jobs and everything else that comes with it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, Jess, let's not waste any more time. Fill in the blank, the expectations for Marcus Freeman going into this first season at Notre Dame were blank.
The expectations for Marcus Freeman going into his first season at Notre Dame were understandably high. And what I mean by that is, were the standards high? Yeah. Should they have been lower? Probably. But when you're coaching at Notre Dame and you're taking over a program that was, in such great shape, all these consecutive.
It looks like we. Yep.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. I think he might have to go out and come back in. I'll just give my answer to this question. I think the expectations on Marcus Freeman were largely misplaced because the expectations that I think most people had for Freeman, they were largely based on things that had nothing to do with whether or not he could win on game day. For example, the success Brian Kelly had over the last 5 years, going 54-10, part of the expectations on Marcus Freeman were based on Brian Kelly accomplishment he did the last 5 years, the recruiting success that Freeman had, on top of the class, top of the classes in the country, one of the top classes coming into the season. I think that played into his expectations because he was doing so well and just all these things seemed to be going so well. like the general kumbaya good feel that he got after he was announced, you know, combined with, you know, the good riddance vibe basically that Brian Kelly had, you know, on his way going, you know, out of town. So I think that all those things played into the expectations that Marcus Freeman had. The bar was obviously set very high, you know, and then just kind of what you were starting to say there, Jess, the fact that it is Notre Dame on top of all these other things even add to the expectations, because again, Marcus Freeman found himself in a place that most coaches don't find themselves in, that none of the, you know, the most recent coaches have found themselves in, that is following a successful coach and jumping in and, you know, being a first-time head coach. Usually, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. There are very few jobs where you get to come in and follow someone's success. You're usually following someone who did not do well, got fired, that kind of thing. So the bar is lower, but the bar was very high for Marcus Freeman coming right out of the chute.
Yeah, so as I was getting into my very good response before, there seemed to be a hiccup in the internet, or as I think, what did Steinle say? Yes, the Amish internet. That's that's exactly right. I don't know. I have really high speed internet, so
you have some squirrels out there, you know, like running on a little wheel for you, trying to keep it going.
Yeah, I guess I think I need to hire some more, because obviously not doing well. But yeah, the expectations were understandably high, and I was getting into, understandably is like the outside perspective. You know, inside me myself, I would say that, you know, things have been kind of lofty for what we were expecting, but they're understandably high because of what you were talking about. You know, the consecutive 10-win seasons, the University of Notre Dame, you know, the national presence, the being on NBC every week. Like, there's a lot of eyes watching. You're expected to do well. Anytime that you don't, it's considered a failure. So, you know, thank you, Drunk Vigo. But like the main thing you were talking about, and I think the hardest thing that Marcus Freeman has had to deal with is, one, he's a first-time head coach, and two, most of the time when you're starting out as a head coach or going into a new program, it's because, like you were saying, the bar is low. You're taking over a program that's underachieving, not doing well. And so right off the bat, you know, just doing better than the last guy is considered, you know, a success. But at Notre Dame, that's not even considered, you know, the slightest success. It's, you know, are we going to win 10 wins this season? Are we going to have contention for a national championship? Are we going to have contention for a New Year's Six Bowl? Like, the level is very, very, very high. And that's kind of what Freeman walked into. And it's understandable, but at the same time, there needs to be, you know, still the flexibility that comes with it.
Yeah, Derek says Yoder Communications. And I will see some Yoders tomorrow, because I've got the Mishawaka Northwood game coming up tomorrow night. And, you know, you talk about Amish country, Northwood High School down there in Napanee. That's the heart of the Amish country in this area, just outside South Bend. Should be a good matchup tomorrow night. I'm not going to get sidetracked on this, but Mishawaka just moved to number one in the state in Class 5A, and Northwood is number four in this, four or five in Class 4A. They're both 6-0, so should be a good one tomorrow night. But we'll see some Yoders out there when we get out there. Full show. All right. According to a feature piece recently on Marcus Freeman in GQ magazine, Brian Kelly had 40 pictures of himself placed around the Notre Dame football facility, the Goog. Like, he's got 40 pictures of himself hanging on the walls before he leaves. So when Marcus Freeman took over, he told the staff not to replace them with photos of himself, just Notre Dame football. What do you think of all this, Jess?
I think it's very on brand for both of these coaches. Like, Brian Kelly, we all know, is, you know, kind of into himself, you know, more so than I would say the average person. And he wants to be someone who is, you know, comes off as this just very like high class, very high profile person. And I think Marcus Freeman's kind of the opposite, you know, and it could kind of go the other way, where you could say it seems a little bit forced, you know, a little bit not corny, but there's a better word for it. And I think that, you know, Marcus Freeman saying, replace them all with you know, pictures of Notre Dame football, I get that. But, you know, you could also have one or two of yourself. Like, you don't have to go all 40. But just like Brian Kelly having 40, that's very, you know, pretty ridiculous if you ask me. But like I said, it's on brand for both of these people. I think that Brian Kelly is on the one end of the spectrum, and I think Marcus Freeman is really on the other end of the spectrum. And if you could just meet somewhere in the middle, that would be ideal. So it's just overall very funny. It's like I read that and I was like, of course Brian Kelly had 40 pictures of himself inside right. the Notre Dame facility.
And that's what like I envision, like this would be probably like walking around any Kardashian's home. You know, like you turn the corner, there's another picture of Kim and Chris, and you know, that's like everywhere you go, there's Kardashian photos inside a Kardashian home. But it just sounds like the cult of Kelly to me, you know, like the classic narcissist that we knew he is. And that's what this comes down to. The fact that Brian Kelly had all these, I wonder exactly where they were played. You know, like it's been a couple years since before the pandemic, basically, that we, like the media, have even been in the Goog, you know, what the football facility that we're talking about, because we used to in the main auditorium there, like when you've seen, you know, like the auditorium where the team was when Brian Kelly, you know, left and told him he was leaving, you know, and walked out and that whole thing. And some of these other, like when you see some of the motivational speakers, some of the videos and stuff like that, who have come in, like the main auditorium where they bring in the whole team, that's where they used to have the press conferences and stuff, but they haven't done that since basically, what would that be? You know, the 2019 season, I guess. You know, that was the last time we were in there because the pandemic was in 2020 and they've been doing everything else differently. So, like, I don't remember a lot of Brian Kelly photos around, you know, like in the places that we were, but I'm wondering, like, where these photos popped up. You know, is it like, where's Waldo and that kind of thing around the Goog? You know, it's like, here's another picture of Brian Kelly. But you're right, it's like very on brand for both, like self-centered narcissist on one time, or you know, on the one hand, and someone who actually cares about someone other than himself on the other hand. So I guess at least they've got the latter now as their head coach.
Yeah, and I would prefer the latter, obviously, you know, for the obvious reasons.
Yes, Brian Kelly is like Mike Gundy 40, says Tyler. He's a man. He's, what is he, like 60-some at this point, Brian Kelly? All right, here's a quote from North Carolina head coach Mack Brown after Notre Dame smacked his team around last weekend. Quote, all of us are trying to catch them. He's talking about Notre Dame, of course. They've got a great program. They do it right. They do it within the rules, and they're really good, end quote. Brown kind of was using that to set up the fact that Notre Dame has now won 26 straight regular season games against ACC teams. So fill in the blank. It's blank that Notre Dame has won those 26 consecutive such games against ACC opponents.
It's complete dominance that Notre Dame has won those games, you know, those consecutive games in a row. And I think it really speaks to all of the, you know, the conference talk that everyone wants to talk about that surrounds Notre Dame of, oh, if they were in a conference, things would be different. You know, the conference would, you know, they wouldn't have as much success. Well, if my math is right, if you win all these regular season ACC games, you're going to, I don't know, be in the ACC championship every year. So that means, you know, for all these naysayers, Notre Dame would be playing in that conference championship every year that says that, you know, that everyone says that they need to be playing in. So I thank Mr. Brown for coming up with that fact, because I just didn't know, but it's such an incredible stat, and it speaks to Notre Dame's dominance over the last, you know, however many, that's got to be kind of a 3-year span that's got to go over.
It goes all the way back to Miami in 2017. That was the last regular season ACC game they lost. Now, of course, they've lost to Clemson a couple of times in the college football playoff, but we're talking about regular season ACC games. It goes back almost 5 years. It'll be 5 years coming up in, I think it was November, that game took place in 2017. And I didn't even realize it either. Like the 42 consecutive wins over unranked teams was something that I knew about coming into the season. And of course that lasted not at all. The first unranked team that Marcus Freeman faced, unfortunately, they lost to. But this ACC streak is still intact. And I hadn't even thought about it until I saw this quote from Mack Brown, and he was talking about it. And it's kind of amazing to me that a head coach even knows that stat, You know, like that he would know that it's been, it was 25 consecutive going in and now it's at 26. But, you know, like a lot of our viewers are saying, ACC isn't very good. That's, you know, what it says to me. And, you know, that is part of it. That's, you know, let's be honest. It's also part of why this ACC agreement has been pretty good for Notre Dame, because they get to play five or six Power Five conference teams a year just with the ACC in there, you know, on top of USC and Stanford and the games that they're going to play regularly. They, you know, so they get to play a Power Five conference, a conference that really only has one good team right now, one really good team, although Pat Narduzzi at Pittsburgh would like to, you know, tell you otherwise. Clemson is still it. And the fact that Notre Dame has been able to have that success, you know, again, we've only seen one game against an ACC team now this year. We've seen some squeakers. The last two times they've played Virginia Tech, they have been very close. You know, remember Ian Book had to rally and score that touchdown at the end of the home game a couple of years ago. And then last year they had to rally to beat Virginia Tech on the road. So, you know, that's one of those questions that I think Marcus Freeman kind of still has to answer himself, is can he keep that track record of success going more than just one game? But Mack Brown was very complimentary for that streak that the Fighting Irish have.
Yeah, I think we can't, you know, forget about also North Carolina State this season. They're another pretty solid team. But, you know, the counter argument for the ACC isn't very good, that's every conference. You know, to me, the Big Ten is very front loaded and the back end is, you know, kind of easy outside of Ohio State, Michigan State here and there, you know, Wisconsin here and there, Iowa here and there. And even then, Wisconsin, Iowa, Michigan State, they're never, you know, they're never kind of competing nationally. So to me, every conference has their weaker end. And I think only about the top 25% or so is what you would consider, you know, good teams. I mean, obviously, you know, the SEC has more better quality teams than some of these conferences, but still that streak is impressive no matter what. If it wasn't, every other ACC team or school would have that accomplishment as well. We'd be saying it about Clemson. We'd be saying it about Pittsburgh. You know, Notre Dame did beat Pittsburgh. Did they play a backup quarterback? Or sorry, they beat Clemson. Did they play a backup quarterback? Yeah, but they still won against a very good team. So
yeah,
my counter argument is that, you know, if it were that easy or, you know, expected or all those things, everyone else would be doing it.
Well, but, and I mean, look at Clemson. You know, Clemson got beat by a couple ACC teams last year, so their streak isn't as long as Notre Dame's right now. Now, granted, they have to play more ACC teams every year than Notre Dame, and you know, just law of averages, the more you have to play, sooner or later one's going to sneak up on you. But they still, you know, they lost a couple last year. Tyler says he's leaving Elkhart to go to Lawrence, Kansas for the Kansas-Iowa State game. Give him some spots in Lawrence to eat. One, I would say the wheel, you know, like if, you know, if you want some beverages and some pizza, you get some good pizza and beverage at the wheel. If you just want a good sandwich shop, Yellow Sub is a really good place to go. There's a couple Yellow Sub locations. There used to be one right across the street from where we lived at the top of the hill there in Lawrence. It's actually right across the street from the stadium. I'm not sure if it's still there, because the last time we were there, you probably remember, just they were doing a lot of construction and stuff like that, kind of up around the top by the Union and all that. But there are a couple Yellow Subs, and the wheel is a good place. Other than that, off the top of my head, I know there's a good barbecue place downtown, but I can't think of the name because it has been a few years. You know, we only get back there once every few years, but those are like two spots going back to the college days that I can guarantee. Get the creamy crab. If you like crab and you like creamy, the creamy crab sandwich at Yellow Sub was always my A number one. So there you go.
I just want to say that Drunk Vigo knows, and I could go into a very long rant about this, but the Big Ten is very overhyped. And the only reason they're like they justify ranking teams in the Big Ten just so the top teams in the Big Ten can look good by saying, we beat this ranked team. It's like, yeah, you beat crappy Rutgers. Like, just for example, you know, it's like, I don't know. I hate the Big Ten. I hate that people try to make the argument that the Big Ten is somehow better than the SEC. But
yeah,
I digress.
Not even close. Not even close right now. All right, some more Mac Brown on Notre Dame. Quote, they're the best players in the country. That's who they are. They're one of those eight teams that recruits the best players in the country every year, end quote, from Mac Brown on Notre Dame. So, Jess, do you think he actually meant it, or was he just kind of blowing smoke after his team got beaten down by the Fighting Irish last weekend?
You know, I thought about this one for a little bit, and I thought, this is Mac Brown. This is a Hall of Fame coach. You know, they asked a question last week during the game, Notre Dame, North Carolina game, who are the active, I think, like six coaches that have a national championship, and Mac Brown is on that list. So, you know, there's a lot of respect on Mac Brown's name. I don't think that he would just be saying those things to say those things. He's at the point of his career where I think he genuinely meant it, and it has, you know, high praise from him is meaningful. I think it should be taken serious. And you know, I like I said, I think all of his experience and him being around the game so long, he can recognize a good program and good players. And so I'm not buying it just solely because, you know, he's saying these things just because Notre Dame, you know, handled his team pretty well in all kind of facets of the game. Was that maybe a part of it? Yeah, but I think the majority of it was just, you know, natural praise. He's a coach that knows good football because he's coached good football before.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of both though still. You know, like I think part of it wasn't just like the heaping of praise on Notre Dame to heap the praise on Notre Dame. I think it was to remind maybe his alumni and, you know, administration and those kind of things, you know, like, hey, this is the team right there on par with Clemson. You know, this is a team that's up there. They've got some of the best players in the country, that kind of stuff, you know, kind of rationalizes a loss. But at the same time, like all you've got to do is take a look at the recruiting rankings for the last few years. And, you know, like if you look at, I think it's what the last three, he's right. Notre Dame is in the top 9 or 10. You get a little bit past that and they've got what, around 15, 16 and stuff like that. But in recent years, and look at where Notre Dame is now, even though they've kind of dropped a couple lot, you know, notches in this current class with some of the decommitments, they're still up there in the top 8 right now. So he's absolutely right along those lines, but I definitely think it kind of, you know, helps his case that he can say, hey, we didn't just lose to anybody. We lost to one of the top teams in the country. Just look at who they're recruiting, that kind of stuff. Doing their recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, it's him. It's, you know, win, or I guess it's a win-win, you know, like he gets to look like nice guy, and at the same time, he's covering his tracks.
Yep. And as Vigo says, make ND recruiting great again, bro. That's all you got to do, right? All right, Jess. With the length of college football games just shy of 3.5 hours long currently, the NCAA is considering restarting the clock after incomplete passes. And I saw Brady Quinn tweet this about it the other day. And there was a big article in The Athletic yesterday about this, you know, things that are being examined. And Brady Quinn tweeted, for the love of God, just stop stopping the clock after a gained first down. There's another league called the NFL that seems to get it right. So, Jess, what would you do to pick up the pace of college football games?
To me, that this is a very simple and obvious answer. There's two things I would do. During the game, I would eliminate, like Quinn said.
Uh-oh. Are you there?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me still?
Yep. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were.
No, I was. I put the finger up for one, and then I was going to. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean to throw you off there.
No. I thought you meant like you couldn't hear me or something. So
nope, you're good.
Back on schedule. Yeah. So number one, I would get rid of the automatic, you know, clock stoppage after each first down, kind of like what Quinn was talking about. Go to the NFL style. And then the next major change that I would make that's pretty simple, in my opinion, is just shortening halftime. I think it's the worst part about college football. You can easily cut 10, 15 minutes off if you just shorten halftime. So, those are the two things I would do. Outside of that, I think, you know, for it, there's a reason that the rules aren't the same for college and NFL, because one is amateur and one is professional. So I don't mind that there's difference in rules and that the games go a little bit longer. It's expected, but there are a couple of things that they could do to clean it up. And I think, you know, just getting a first down shouldn't warrant a clock stop just because they're resetting the chains. And I think shortening halftime is another one, but obviously there's bands and all that kind of stuff and different, you know, alumni being honored at halftime. So there's, it's never going to happen. I don't think because of those reasons, booster money, you know, recognition for that, you know, the marketing kind of stuff. So to me, the real only change is just eliminating the clock stop after each first down. I think that that would save a lot of time. And I'm not, I would never stop the clock, or sorry, run the clock after incomplete pass. I think that's completely ludicrous.
Well, so, you know, like they would stop it, I think, long enough, you know, kind of like after a first down, they would stop it long enough to spot it and then get it restarted right away, basically. I think that's kind of what they're alluding to. I think a lot of people, and again, reading this article, what you mentioned about halftime was in there. College halftime is 20 minutes. Doesn't it seem like it's closer to 30 minutes than 20 minutes?
It always feels like 30 minutes.
It's like, I don't know if Notre Dame's is longer. Maybe I need to put a stopwatch to it, but apparently that has been brought up a lot. And because of TV contracts and stuff like that, they have, like the NCAA and college football, they have pushed them to keep it at 20 minutes. They don't want them to cut it because of what you're saying. You know, you got to have the band play and all these different things. There obviously is some, you know, more pageantry in college football, even though I think a lot of that is going away. It would help if you could, you know, cut halftime, but I don't think that that's going to happen. But just what you said, like, I think the biggest thing is after a first down, you don't have to stop the clock all the time. And the second thing, and I saw somebody else mention this, and it's already, you know, kind of gone by in the scroll. I didn't get a chance to hit the star button. Tyler, though, says he's with Brady Quinn. The other thing is stop making every play up for review. And now apparently there have been, on average, fewer reviews so far this season. But at the same time, when in college football, you can, in theory, not just in theory, any play is subject to review, even though, you know, we've seen plays that should have been reviewed that weren't reviewed. But when any play is subject to review, it bogs things down. And between that and the fact that you are stopping the clock after every first down, I think those two things would at least help. I would think that that would shave some time off it. Now, the other thing, though, that's mentioned in this article is the proliferation of passing offenses, you know, and that's been a big part of it as well. And you're never going to be able to correct that, because just the fact that when you have more passes, that means you have more incompletions, which means that the clock is naturally going to stop more, you know. And I guess that's, you know, this goes back to, you know, what college football is talking about with, you know, where we started with this topic. If there are more passes and you quit stopping the clock after incomplete passes, then it keeps the clock, you know, running and moving things along. I just don't think that that's a good idea, though.
I think another one just came to me, and I like this one from the NFL, is I don't think that guys stepping out of bounds, like incidentally, the clock should stop. Like I read the rule in the NFL, and I think predominantly it's if your forward progress is stopped, but you still go out of bounds, the clock isn't going to stop. So I think that unless there is a concerted effort where the guy is, you know, clearly trying to get out of bounds, that should be a stoppage of the clock. I think that's another one. I feel like oftentimes there's too many times, you know, plays on the sideline where the clock is being stopped, and it's just because the guy, you know, he's not trying to go out of bounds. He's just incidentally, because of, you know, play and that kind of thing, they're just going out of bounds.
Yeah. John says long games don't bother him. The only thing he'd change is the overtime rules. Ball should be spotted at the 40, no first downs. Each team gets 5 plays total to score. I think the 40 might be too long. Like, I think the 30, like, might be my spot.
30 in like 7 plays.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably a good idea. Like, put a max on how many plays, rather than, you know, you can pick up multiple, you know, all these first downs and all that kind of stuff. But Stymie says, correct, stopping forward progress takes precedent. Try harder if you need to get out of bounds. Yeah, I would agree with that as well. So, you know, it's It is funny though, because like we're so used to watching Notre Dame games as well on NBC, and those games have always taken longer on average than, you know, like if Notre Dame plays on ABC or ESPN, typically those games are going to be shorter than an NBC game, you know. So it just, some of it depends on where you're watching, I think, as well.